Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20, or 10 to 18. Hear now the word of the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in its place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And now we'll go to our theme verse, which is 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. And that is, be on your guard. This is the one the cadets were supposed to recite, but they had a little stage fright earlier. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. So that's our theme verse for cadets. And our theme, of course, as you heard earlier, is stand firm. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, earlier, you heard from the cadets, or we're supposed to, what our theme is and what our verse is for this season. This morning, I'd like to unpack this verse, and I'd like to have the cadets help me a bit. See, at every cadet meeting, when we do our landmarks, we spend a little time not just learning the theme verse, but also what it means. When we look at a verse from Scripture, or a group of verses, it's important to know what's going on when the verse was written. And our theme verse comes from 1 Corinthians 16, 13 to 14. And it is among the seemingly random list of instructions that Paul left to the faithful believers at the end of his first letter to the Corinthians. Over the last few cadet seasons, we've had themes that both encourage and empower cadets as they grow to be godly men of faith. Cadets, do you guys remember what your theme was from last year? Who remembers? Lead. Say it out loud. Lead the way. And that's from 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Right? You guys remember that? Yeah? Can you remember the theme from the year before that? You guys remember that one? Rooted and grounded. There we go. And that's from Ephesians 3, verse 17, 18. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Now, do you guys remember what the theme is for this year? Say it loud.
Stand firm.
There you go. I want your guys' help this morning. And that's from 1 Corinthians, right? So be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. Do everything in love. The fact that our theme verse is sort of on its own among what appears to be last-minute thoughts makes it a little difficult to catch what Paul is getting at. And that's why I read the passage from Ephesians 6. There's a lot of the same verbiage in the Ephesians passage about standing firm and being strong in the armor of God, which helps us understand our theme. When we look at the parts of our theme verse, we see four verbs and a noun. In Greek, the noun is the king of the sentence, the focal point, which means that all the verbs in the sentence relate to the noun. And our noun in this sentence is faith. The cadets have been studying this verse all season, and we started with the first part, be on your guard. Cadets, what does it mean to be on your guard? Do you guys remember? What does it mean to be on your guard? Or you could say it a different way, which is be alert. Right? What is it? You guys remember what that means? What does that mean?
Like watching out for sin.
Always watching?
And watching for your
right? Right? Always being watching, right? That's what it means to be alert. The Greek words like English words. I lost my place. Greek words like English words have word forms that indicate person. First, second, third person, and tense. Past, present, future. And this first Greek word is a present active imperative, which is a form that means you need to do this right now. So be on alert, be on your guard right now. There's an urgency in this verb, but be alert for what? And because the verb relates to the noun, we know that we need to be alert right now in the faith. It can also mean to give strict attention to. We're called to give strict attention to faith right now. How often do brothers and sisters become complacent in their faith or take it for granted? Yet Paul is urging us to be intentional about our faith. Be alert. Pay attention. Don't let your faith get damaged. See the attacks on your faith coming. In Matthew 24, verse 42, Jesus gives an example of how alert we need to be when he says, "Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." The second part of this verse is stand firm. Cadets, what does it mean to stand firm? Case? Stand firm, be alert. What else?
Keep your feet planted.
Keep your feet planted, right? Absolutely. The form of this word is also a present active imperative, and it carries the same level of urgency as be on your guard. Paul is saying stand firm right now. But stand firm is not really the full depth of what this word means. The depth of this word means to persevere, stand firm without failing. Stand firm in what? The faith. The message for us in this one Greek word is to remain firm without failing in the faith right now. Paul says it this way in 2 Thessalonians 2:15. "So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter." Congregation, how hard has it been for you to remain firm in the faith without failing? I know how hard it's been for me. The world of our cadets is very different from what it was like when many of us grew up. Our cadets, our gems, our Sunday school kids need to be firm and persevering in the faith right now, not just when they're adults. And so do we. With the sense of urgency that Paul is telling us to have, but they will fail, just as we have. And so we need to encourage them, as much as we should each other, to continue on and persevere in what we know to be true about their salvation. The third part of the verse is, be courageous. And it more accurately translates to, act like men. Most Bibles, other than the NIV, translate the English as act like men rather than be courageous. And this particular Greek word is used only once in Scripture, indicating that Paul was very intentional about the directive. Cadets, what does it mean? Do you remember what it means to act like men? You remember? No? The form of this verb is a little different from the other two, in that it's a present middle imperative. So the other two were active voices. That means you had to do it. This one is the middle voice. The other two verbs meant do it now, but this one having a middle voice actually means do it to yourself. It's basically a reflexive action. You still need to do it because it's an imperative, but it doesn't have the same urgency. It's something that you do to yourself on an ongoing basis. 2 Samuel 10, verse 11 says it this way, "Be of good courage, and let us be courageous for our people and for the cities of our God." We must make ourselves courageous. The way Paul tells us to become like men is most often used in a military context. And what Paul is telling all of us is that we are to be brave, to be bold, to be fierce, and to be protectors of the faith. And we must do this for the faith in general. We need to make ourselves like men. Our modern culture often calls these character traits toxic, but culture's wrong. We must teach our kids to be bold, fierce, brave protectors of the faith for themselves, for their families, for their churches, standing strong against the devil in the world that he rules. Act like men is not gender specific. It's a call to all believers. But for the cadets right here, it has a special application. The final action after the noun is be strong. And the form of this word is a little different again. This verb is a present passive imperative. The passive voice means you're merely a recipient of the action. You did not do anything to cause it, you just received it. Remember that faith is the noun or the focal point of the sentence. And what we're being told with this last verb form is that we will become strong in the faith. If we do what the other verbs tell us to do, then at the same time, we will naturally become strong in the faith, almost like a byproduct. And this is usually the case with most things. Most of us who do blue-collar jobs grow stronger as our muscles develop through repetitive action. If we are scholars, the same thing happens to our brains. Our intellect develops further and further. And this is why the things we teach our cadets, meeting after meeting, matter. Repeating our landmarks, teaching them Bible lessons, showing them time and time again how godly men should act and talk, continually showing them that faith is the focal point of our lives. Our cadets will naturally grow stronger in the faith through the things we teach them to do and the things that we live out before them. This applies to us as well. Ephesians 3:16 says it this way, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. If we as believers are always alert and on our guard against anything that can attack the faith, and we are diligent to stand firm in the faith and protect it for ourselves, then naturally we will grow stronger in the faith. And finally, the noun faith. In Greek, there's a little word before a noun that English translates as the. And this is correct. Except in the Greek, when a writer wants to add extra attention and emphasis to a noun, they use a form of the word ho. And this word is a verbal exclamation mark to translators, kind of with a flashing neon arrow saying, pay attention. Ho piste, the faith. This Greek word for faith is absolutely loaded with meaning. But the best summary of what piste means is conviction of the truth of anything, belief, or in the New Testament context, a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, generally with the included idea of trust and holy fervor born of faith and joined with it. For Paul, faith is not merely intellectual, it's not merely intellectual agreement, but a living commitment rooted in God's revelation, the Bible, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Faith is centered on a transformative, divinely revealed trust that shapes Christian identity and practice. Faith is intimately connected to Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, which is the foundation of our Christian hope. Faith, like love, is not a feeling or an emotional state. True faith is something that brings forth an action. Faith without works is dead, says James. If you have faith, there will be actions that come from it that are proof to everyone around you that your faith is real. Which is why it makes sense that our theme verse this morning lists four actions that Paul tells us to take regarding our faith. Now, if we pull all these verbs together with faith as our focal point, this is what Paul is really telling us in this one simple verse. Be alert right now. Stand firm right now. Be bold, be brave, be fierce, be a protector of the faith, and you will become strong in your confidence and faith in the saving work of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, cadets are trainees. They are trainees in the Lord's army. One day these boys will have to step out in the battlefield, and their faith will be tested. The battle is fierce and the battle is hard. As counselors, we do what we can to prepare these boys to be soldiers for the faith, to lead faithfully in their careers, lead faithfully in their families, and lead faithfully in their churches. But we only see these boys for a couple of hours twice a month. The reality is, congregation, that you too must teach these cadets what it means to be on your guard, stand firm, act like men, and grow strong in the faith. See, soldiers rarely fight alone. Soldiers are surrounded by other soldiers, people they trust with their lives, people they know will sacrifice everything to ensure the battle is won and their fellow soldiers are safe. Do our cadets see the members of Ebenezer this way? Can the cadets rely on the seasoned veterans around them in Ebenezer for encouragement when the battle gets fierce? To stand firm beside them as their faith grows stronger? Training is the most critical part. Training provides soldiers with the instincts they need when the battle does not give them time to think. When military recruits become cadets or trainees, they're sent to a designated training location. And this training facility is always a safe location. The cadets are trained in safety until they're ready to enter the battlefield and are called to action. This is what the church should be for our cadets, our gems, and all those learning to stand firm in the faith. But let's expand this out just a little bit more from individuals to the church as a whole. What will Ebenezer look like if it is always alert for attacks on its collective faith? What kind of church will Ebenezer be when it stands firm in the faith that has been passed down for generations? What a beacon of light for the kingdom of heaven Ebenezer will be when it is willing to be bold, fierce protectors of the faith. How strong will Ebenezer become when we keep the sense of urgency that Paul calls the believers of Corinth to have? Can you picture it? Generations of faithful believers, trained in safety, learning from the wisdom and example of faithful soldiers of the cross, as ready as they can be to join the battle against the devil, ready to train another generation of believers able to stand firm in the faith. I bet it would look a lot like the early church in Acts 2. And they devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. But there's one last thing that Paul adds to the verbs in verse 13. Cadets, what does verse 14 say? You guys remember? Do everything
in love.
Do everything in love, right? Do everything in love. Yeah, no, do everything in love. So let me ask you this. Does this mean that we have to do everything with hugs and kisses and snuggles?
No.
No? No? Most moms think so. Nobody gets hurt that way. But doing everything in love sets the tone for verse 13. See, verse 13 taken by itself can be understood in a very militant, combative, and isolating way. But Paul instructs us to do all these things in love, which is an overarching theme in 1 Corinthians. It's so important that Paul dedicates an entire section in the letter to love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Love is not an emotion. It is an action. When we are alert, standing firm, being courageous and growing strong in the faith, if we are not doing it in love, then we are failing our cadets and our children as we train them in faithfulness and righteousness. Love for our faith, love for each other, and most importantly, our love for Jesus must be the motivation and the standard by which we live our lives. Will Ebenezer be the training ground we all need in order to stand firm in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ? By the grace of God, it will be. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Father, what a training ground Ebenezer can become for soldiers and sowers, for protectors and for those who show mercy. What a beacon of light we can be to the world around us. Father, grant us the desire and the ability to become that training ground, a place of safety for recruits and veterans, a place that we can fall back to when things get hard, where we can regroup and head back out into the mission field of the world around us, be it our schools, our jobs, our ministries, and our families. Be with these cadets as they grow in their faith and confidence as people loved by the Lord. May we all be alert, standing firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong every moment of every day. Amen.